Brother Roel started it. We did not talk about our topic, but it's related. See, there's the importance of being able to hear the voice of God during these times that we are living in. And I pray, our prayers for all of us, including myself, all of us, none spared, that you and I would seriously take the word of God seriously in our times that we're living in. We are so blessed to be able to hear, be given the opportunity to hear the words of life. Jesus said that, the words that I speak to you, they are life. And I know it would take discipline on our part every time we come together, how to remain focused and not be distracted. I know that you have your smartphones. I leave that between you and God when you have your smartphones with you. It will take discipline that when we come to church, that the focus will be God. Focus will be God. It might be convenient for you instead of bringing a chunky Bible like mine, and you would use your smartphone. But Sundays, let's set aside Sundays for God. You could check your likes and, you know, the postings of friends later on, please. And let's set aside this time for the Lord. And so if you have your Bibles and your smartphones with the apps, please turn to 2 Thessalonians. We're going to read chapters 1 and 2. If you're able to rise up, please rise up. 2 Thessalonians, as we honor the word of the Lord. Jesus is the word of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Subtitle on my Bible is The Bright Hope of Christ's Return. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We have hope. Amen. Brethren, we have hope in Christ. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from where? From heaven, in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and who else? And do not obey what? The gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. Verse 10, on that day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. So your faith is so important. This includes you because you believed our testimony to you. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're now on verse 2. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until what? Okay, in the New King James Version, take note, it's the falling away. In the NIV, it says rebellion. Until the falling away occurs, or the rebellion occurs, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. What will he do? Verse 4, he will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things, and now you know what is holding him back so that he may be revealed at the proper time. God has a time for everything. He is right on time. May schedule po siya. Verse 7, for the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. Do we see that today? Yes, we do. But the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth. Look at that, only just the breath of his mouth. And destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of whom? Of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles. So not all miracles come from the Lord. Satan is a deceiver. Okay. So we have to know this. All kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because, why? Yes, they refuse to love the truth. Where is the truth found? From the Word of God. No love of the truth, and so be saved. For this reason, look at this. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in the wickedness. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you. If you are truly born again, you are loved by God. God has chosen you. And look at this, to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through what? Belief in the truth. He called you and me to this, to our gospel, so that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we pass on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Lord, we receive your word today. Give us understanding, Lord, and revelation through your Holy Spirit, and help us to be doers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Praise God. Praise the Lord. How many people drive here? For many people who drive, you know the importance of the gauges displayed on in front of you, right? What kind of gauges do you find in you, your speed tells you how, you know, because there's a posted speed limit, right? And so what else? Your gas, whether it's full or empty. Or your temperature, whether you have the gauge, whether it's hot or cold. Or there is like an indicator whether it's time for an oil change. And there would be like display of icons whether time, whether engine trouble, if you're driving an older car, right? At times there would be a need for a complete overhaul of the engine, right? And so if you're a driver, you know how important these things are, right? Because all of these are needed for our safety and, of course, the goal that we reach our destination safely. We get to our wherever you're going, right? And so, like, when we went to Rancho Mirage, I asked, you know, the lady that Tonette was driving us, is your tank full? Because it's going to be, like, over 100 miles. So we checked those things so we could reach Rancho Mirage safely, right? And so do you know that it's the same thing with our spiritual lives? Someone said, I think it's Billy Graham who said, that our life is like a journey. We're traveling. So in our spiritual lives, we need the Word of God and we need the Holy Spirit to tell us where we are at spiritually. Because you know what? What is our final destination? Heaven. As Christians, heaven is our home. Right. We are just passing through. In fact, the Bible tells us we are just pilgrims here on earth. So now we ask these questions. Are we running low on the oil of the Holy Spirit? Do we need an oil change? What is our spiritual temperature? Are we cold? Are we hot? Is there anything in our lives that needs to be fixed or adjusted or changed? Change of tires? or in our walk, what needs to be adjusted so that we could reach our destination safely, that you and I can be spiritually ready. I thank God for what Brother Rowell did me, made my work a little bit easier. It's like a prelude to our study of the Word of God. He powerfully shared to us about the importance of trumpets. We read from a portion of the scriptures that before, because those two events, let me just say this, rapture and the second coming are two distinct events. They are not the same. Rapture is when there would be the gathering, when that trumpet will be blown and the trumpet is used to gather the elect. And so rapture is, can you imagine, let's say you're standing and then what would happen is when the trumpet is blown, we will be what? Caught up in the air. Tataas po tayo. Standing firm in the ground, hindi ka magdi-disappear. You won't vanish. But we will be caught up in the air. To some people, it's they would say, how can that be possible? It's possible with God. Amen. Some people would say about the law of gravity, what comes up must fall down. But when rapture comes, we will be caught up in the air. How that would happen, it's God's ability. He can do anything. Amen. He can do anything. Yes. But because the word of God says so, then it's surely going to happen. Right. Now, there's something that I would want us, the reason why we started with those questions, we started with something that we are all familiar with when you're driving a car, but there's something far greater because we need to do a self-examination, all of us. Because the Bible tells us that before the second coming of the Lord will come and there will be a falling away. Did you notice those words? It's falling away or rebellion. Or there's a theological word for it, and it's apostasy. Apostasy means departing from the faith. Apostasy is rebellion, meaning to say they won't believe the word of God. They will abandon the truth. Do you follow? So there will be a departing from the faith or abandoning it or rebelling or abandoning the truth. Do you know that we are living in a time wherein the integrity of God's word is being questioned and challenged now? How many of you are aware of that?
Yes.
When Greg Laurie had the Harvest Crusade, there were so many. The reason why we're sharing these things with you, because probably some of you might not be aware of it. But we are in these times that we are living in, wherein the word of God is going to be challenged. Satan has never changed his tactics. In the book of Genesis, where it all started, what did he do? He challenged Eve by saying, "Did God really say?" And that would always be his attack in your mind and in my mind. Did God really say? And so that's why we would always say, settle it. Let it be settled whether you're going to believe that this book, this is not just a book composed of words. We have to know and really believe, Lord, I believe that this is your word, that your word is the final authority in every aspect of our lives. How do I live my life? I go to the word of God. In how do I handle my finances? I go to the word of God. What is my priority? I go to the word of God. And so in all of this, God would want us to have wisdom for us to understand and really know the times that we are living in. Persecution is already coming. It has come. Persecution is more severe in places like the Middle East or in China, in communist countries. But here in America, the ways of the enemy is so subtle. Very, very subtle. And it would take our spiritual senses to be really keen and sharp for us to, the word is discern, to know what is right and what is wrong. It's not just for young people. Can I say this? The times that our young people are living in, we have so many children that are growing up in a culture wherein the Word of God is not taught at all. Not taught at all. So if children grow up in an environment and they don't know the Word of God, how can they manage to survive in a culture wherein it's everything is anti-Christ? When the culture is about pleasing the self and not God. In fact, in 2 Timothy, it says they would be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. Have you encountered that? Yeah. Yeah. And so, hear me please. When Brother Ruel shared the Word of God in the area of what is a trumpet for, you know, some would say, what is that teaching? What, he even has a horn and he blew it. What is that for? That's why we go to the Word of God. What is the significance of that trumpet being sounded? Let me just share this portion here. Do you know that in the church, it's supposed to be like teamwork? I could say that in a term that everybody would understand. We belong to each other. We help one another. We encourage one another. And I'm so glad that Sister Connie introduced me to Amir Charfati, and I have his book, The Last Hour. Can I just say to you that when the Bible says that, it says about talking about the second coming, that it would encourage us. I went through a period of discouragement, but when I read the Word of God and this book, it gave me hope. It gave me, in Tagalog, pananaw, different perspective. Pananaw. It gave me a different view of what's going on in my life, what's going on around me. It gave me hope because Jesus will take care of all of those things. You and I can be so overwhelmed with the here and now. I'm not saying that God is not. Can somebody close that door? Because my eye, the glare of that. Where was I? You and I can get distracted about so many things in life that we can lose sight of what's about to happen. And Jesus, when he said, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. How much we need to know the truth that comes from God's word. That's why, do you know why Satan is all out to discourage you and me or even distract us? Distract us as far as spending time in the Word of God and in prayer. And so it tells us, let me go back to the trumpets. Throughout the history of God's people, trumpets were used to get people's attention. I'm reading it from Amir's book. Before I go on, if those of you who are writing, write this down, this website, www.beholdisrael.org. You know why? Because Amir Charfati he's a guy who was born in Israel. And so he's a Messianic Jew. He's a Christian. He believes in Jesus, that Jesus is the Messiah. And that makes a lot of difference. And so he has access to reliable sources as far as what's going on in the nation of Israel and what's going on around us. If you want to get the new... Please. Hear me. It's so important for us to equip ourselves. And there are resources made available for us. And this is one of those. And so he's the founder of this Behold Israel. It's a nonprofit organization that provides real-time access to reliable news about Israel. And there's so much to learn. There's so much to learn coming from a Jew. Amen? Someone from Israel. Amen. And so... here in this book, he said, and it's true because the Bible tells us that trumpets were used to get people's attention. Whether when the trumpet is blown, it's giving directions on the battlefield or warning a city of imminent danger. If there's danger, don't we want to be like told there's danger coming? Of course. And so the voice of the trumpet is also closely connected with the rapture. And so, as believers, do you know that we are to be His trumpets? As believers, we are, because God wants to blast His warning through us to make the world aware of His plans so that they too can be prepared for the Messiah's return. We are to warn others, but now for our study, we have to do an examination of ourselves. Are we ready? Are we ready for that? Now, let's look at Ezekiel first. Ezekiel chapter 3. We're going to look at that. Ezekiel chapter 3, we're going to look at verse 16, all the way up to verse 21. Ezekiel 3. At the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me. So who said these words? The Lord. Ezekiel 3. Pasko na. Are you there? At the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. So the Lord wants to give a warning to the people of Israel. He can do that also today. When I say to a wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his evil ways, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and does evil, and I put a stumbling block before him, he will die. Since you did not warn him, he will die for his sin. The righteous things he did will not be remembered, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the righteous man not to sin and he does not sin, he will surely live because he took warning, and you will have saved yourself. All of us are individually responsible to God. You and I are spiritually responsible for our spiritual condition. When you would remember the study when we talked about the 10 virgins, 5 were wise and 5 were not. Who are the wise virgins? They were the ones who had oil in their lamps burning. That's why I love that song. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Yes. That's a humble song asking God, Lord, I need, what's oil? That's the Spirit of God. When we are spiritually dry, we would say, Lord, God, I need your Holy Spirit. Amen. And so here, just from these verses, it tells us, people are individually responsible to God. When you share the word of God to someone, and that person is living in sin, and that person turns away from their sins, praise God. But if you heard from the Lord and said, warn these people, warn this person, and that person does not listen, we did our part. And so it's the responsibility of that person that heard the word of God. So it will be between him, her, and the Lord. But we need to do something. You and I have been commissioned by God to share the message of the gospel to all. Amen? And so God has given us, his church, the role of being watchmen. Amen? And so let's continue. Praise God. And so when the word of God tells us that there will be a falling away, I think we don't want to be part of that statistics, right? How many of you remember that teaching about the parable of the soils? Just to give you, for the sake of time, let me just read the portion in Matthew 13. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. Just listen to me. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed and fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. You know, some people, oh, wow, beautiful message. But since that person has no root, it lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. Falling away. Because the Bible tells us the truth that problems will come in our lives. I remember someone asked for a prayer request, can you please pray that I will not have problems in life? Some of us, we would laugh, right? Why? Why do we laugh at that prayer request? It's not truth. Because Jesus said that in this world, you and I will have troubles, tribulations. Problems will be part of life, whether a Christian or a non-Christian. But the good news, as far as a Christian is, we have the Lord. The Bible tells us that the Lord will deliver us from all of these troubles. He will deliver us. The deliverance will come from God. And so when those times come, the Word of God tells us that we should come to the Lord always in prayer. Now, so the importance of God's Word. You and I can never overemphasize the importance of the Word of God in our lives. Now, there's a word found in the Bible. I'm not sure whether a lot of people know this, but the word backsliding. Backsliding is a unique biblical word, and we find that in the book of Jeremiah 2 and Jeremiah 3. But it tells us, let's look at that, just to show you that it's in the word of the Lord. Jeremiah 2, verse 19. Thank you, Lord. The word of God is truth. Your wickedness will punish you, your backsliding. Did you see that? You're not there yet. Okay. Bagong taon na. 2:19. Jeremiah 2:19. Your wickedness will punish you. Did you find that word? Your what? Backsliding will rebuke you. Consider then and realize how evil and bitter it is for you when you forsake the Lord your God and have no what? Fear or awe of me, declares whom? The Lord Almighty. So from that verse alone, we see that God has a word for this condition, and that's backsliding. Backsliding is not just falling backward, but also failing to go forward spiritually. Let me repeat that. So backsliding is not just falling backward, but also failing to forward spiritually. So in a Christian life, there is no such thing as on a park mode. The worst part is reverse mode. Or just standing still. Or just standing still. Backsliding doesn't just happen. It's a gradual process. And a series of steps lead to that kind of condition. And that's why you and I need the Holy Spirit for us to understand whether it can happen to anyone. Do you know that every day you and I make choices, right? Yeah. Yeah. Every day we make choices that will either build us up spiritually, or we make choices that would hinder our moving forward or weaken us. So either we're moving forward or slowly falling away. We thank God how there are stories preserved for you and me. Because in the life of a Christian, in the life of a follower of Jesus, things can happen that can discourage us. You know, Kay was, open enough to share to us before we prayed for her how she had a moment that she was asking God for something, desperate for something. As a follower of Christ, she knows the Word of God. The family knows the Word of God. But in those moments of waiting, that you and I become so vulnerable whether we will still continue to follow the Lord when it does not happen, right? Yes. It happens to any one of us. And so here we're going to look at an account, a story in the Bible, and it happened in the life of Peter. Peter, he was one of those that said yes to Jesus. He had an encounter with the Lord, and he went through 3 years of intensive discipleship training by the Lord himself. By Jesus himself, discipled by the Lord for 3 years. Now, we would see that there was a time in his life wherein, and this is one thing that this would be the first step to backsliding. Number one is, we're going to look at this, let us look at the book of Luke. Luke 22. Matthew, Mark, and then Luke. Luke 22, we're going to verse 31 up to 33. Luke 22, verse 31. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as what? Wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But look at the reply of Peter. But he replied, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. How does that sound to you? Pride. Thank you so much, Sister Sally. Pride. Self-confidence. He said, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and even die for you. Peter was boasting of his own strength. And even in the Gospel of Mark, he did this repeatedly. That was before he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. So here in this account, we see that the number one step is what? Pride. Hear me. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Let me repeat that. If you want to look at that in your Bible, I'll give you time. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Pride is comes from the pit of hell. Pride was the fall of Lucifer. He was too proud. He doesn't want to be number two. Because he considered himself beautiful. He was really a beautiful creation by God. He was arrogant, and he doesn't want to be number two in the kingdom of God. And so he says, it's like I. It's found in the book of Isaiah. But look at this. 1 Corinthians 10, 12. Did you see it?
Yes.
Let him who thinks he stands. Let's pause. Pride always nasa sariling pag-iisip. That's how we estimate ourselves. Well, I'm strong. I'm okay. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. So that was the number one, the first step to backsliding. Number two, prayerlessness. Let's go back to 22. We're going to verse 39, same chapter. You would see the flow of that story. Luke 22. 39. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives. I like that about the Lord. What did the Bible say? He went out as what? As usual, meaning to say it was a pattern that he did, right? Praying. He went as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." So whose words were those? So what is the importance of prayer? That you and I will not fall into temptation. He said that to Peter and the rest of the disciples. And so look at this. So Jesus withdrew about a stone's throw away beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." How many times did the Lord say it? Twice. If he says it more than once, it means it's because it's important. If the Lord said to his disciples, then pray that you may not enter into temptation, how much more for us too? How much do we value prayer in our lives? prayer, our own personal time with God, and more so corporately as a church. We have our Friday prayer meetings, and you know, it has always been our prayer that people will get involved in praying. We would allow the Spirit of God to speak to our hearts today. Let us hear the voice of God today. We draw strength from God. Repeatedly, the Bible tells us that it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Because the following verses talks about a spiritual battle. That we need power greater than ourselves because we cannot fight the spiritual battle on our own. How many of us know that our strength is limited? It is limited. We all have the tendency to wander away from the truth. Not unless you and I really accept that truth, because the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah, all we like sheep that have gone astray, each one to his or her own way. But the mercies of God and the grace of God drew us to come to Him. How much we need the grace of God. How much we need the power of God. How much you and I need the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. Because the power comes from the Spirit of God. When you and I, many times when we are faced with ourselves, it's like, ayoko na. I've heard that so many times over all these years in the ministry. I've heard people say that. I quit. Give up. Not just in serving, but even in following God. Why? Like what we said, number one is pride. They think that they can go far in lives without the Lord. That's a lie from hell. We always say it, Lord, we are nothing apart from you. But how much really do we believe that we are nothing apart from God? How do we apply that truth as far as, God, I need you, Lord. I need you. The truth is, there's so many things that can distract us in our spiritual lives. Is that a true statement? Is that true for all of us?
Yes.
Whether you're at home, whether you're a housewife, I'm not demeaning housewives. If you have been called to, you know, be in the house and take care of children, praise God. But if you're also working, there goes the greater challenge, right? And so all of us. And so we draw strength from God to face all of our trials and temptations. We need divine power in our spiritual battle. So the first step to backsliding is what? Pride. Second thing is prayerlessness. Number three, let's look at the same chapter, verse 54. Luke 22, verse 54. And this was when Jesus was taken away and led into the house of the high priest. Verse 54. Luke 22, verse 54. Then seizing him, they led him away, that's Jesus, and took him into the house of the high priest. What was the following verse?
Peter followed at a distance.
What does that mean? That's half-hearted commitment. He was scared. Because he wanted to be just, you know, there are a lot of Christians that would just contento sila, just by the side, spectators, not getting involved. It's half-hearted commitment. But, you know, when God is... let me just say this. Let me give you another example. How many of you watch Discovery Channel? Some of us probably have seen this. How does a lion get his prey, whether it be a zebra or a deer? That lion gets the one that is separated from the rest. One straggler. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. It's amazing how we are looking at this letter written by Peter, but he was already a changed person. Hallelujah. Because he knew, he experienced it. And that's why when he was filled with the Spirit of God, probably he remembered that time when he was so proud and so cocky. Oh, and so that's why He was inspired by the Spirit of God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 5, yes. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Are you there with me? We're going, be self-controlled and vigilant. Two words, alert and vigilant. When you say alert, like what Brother Rowell said, some can be spiritually asleep, not knowing what's going on, clueless, spiritual senses dull. It says self-controlled and alert. Why self-control? We need self-control in what areas? In all. Do we need self-control like what I said with our smartphone?
Yes.
It takes discipline to put that down. It takes discipline to put it down. See, let's say you and I are here. We got into the habit of always checking on it. And let's say the Word of God is being ministered. At times you have a tone when you get like something comes in, right?
Notification.
Ding. Oh, alert. Na alert ka. Oh, meron. Oh, I'm going to check it. And let me just give you, it's happening. It's happening right here inside the church. It's happening. And the enemy can use that, not you not knowing. There is a word for you that day, and you missed it because, oh, you got distracted. And he stole it. He stole it. A word for us that could have built us up and delivered us from whatever fears or concerns or heaviness, all because it was taken away. So that's why we need discipline in our spiritual lives. Let's ask God, if we got into that habit, Lord, help me to put it away. Lord, when it's time for me to put it aside, help me put it aside. Help me to focus on what you're going to. The word of our God, we need it, we need it. Amen? And so it says, be self-controlled and alert. Look at that. Your enemy, the devil, are you there with me? Or you already missed the page? 1 Peter 5:8. Your enemy, who's the enemy? The devil. Prowls around or walks around. Oh, so he's sneaky. Sneaky. So that's why you and I need to be alert. And it takes the power of the Holy Spirit for us to see what he's doing. And your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone. What did the Holy Spirit use? Looking for someone to what? To devour. To eat you up whole. Oh, you don't give him an inch. That's what the Bible, don't give him a foothold. That's what the Bible says. Not even an inch, because he will swallow us up. We don't play games. If that is, let's say my weakness is gambling, and I'm struggling with that, and someone would invite me, oh, let's go to UP. What's UP? University of Pachanga. Marami kong kaklase doon, University of Pachanga. So if that's my weakness, I won't give the enemy a foothold. If my weakness is lust, I'm a good movie. Oh, I got free movie tickets. Ano ba yan? Rated? Oh, R. And it would tell you whether may... we know that. Hollywood is so filled with it. Even commercials. Have you seen a Carl's Jr. commercial? Ibabait lang yung hamburger. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Commercial for underwear. My goodness. And when we give the enemy a foothold, I remember that. Let me just share with you. That's why I did it purposefully and intentionally. We used to have HBO because we have cable. And so I was flipping through the channel, and then I saw right at that moment when I flipped the channel on an HBO movie, and there was like a scene, a sexual scene. And nag-stick sa parang linta. Leech stuck to my mind. All because in that one, isang idlap. And it's like, hindi ba ang linta? It kumaka, it sticks to you. So it sucks your blood. That is how Satan is with our minds. The gateway, we have many openings. Gateway, the eyes, the ears. If you and I are not careful with these gateways and just, that's why, you know what, I canceled our HBO. Even if, you know, why would I even allow that in my house? Right? And we have kids. Parents, also parenting class natin ito, ah. How many of you are watching what your kids watch? With your kids now, they have their own tablets. Do you have filters? Oh, tayo hindi, I'm not computer savvy. How many parents here, young parents, how many of your children have tablets? They do have their own. Okay. And things can get through those things. And just, pag walang filter, merong, there are things that pop up. There are things that pop up. And so that's why we are saying this, because as parents, even grandparents, you need to be on the alert for what even your children are watching and are even listening to. The kind of music, what kind of music do your children listen to? Do you even know what they listen to? Huh? Country music? Mainit ata. Bakit? It's okay. That's why we have to be alert. We have to be watchful. I remember my mom. She used to be a teacher back home in the Philippines. And that was, my gosh, she was a teacher. So that was probably in the 60s, 70s. As a teacher, they have to be careful with their integrity as teachers. Diba, there was a time in the Philippines na pag sinabing, oh, bomba yan. Ano, diba, remember? Yes. Pag sinabing bomba star, oy, di nyo alam yon? Bold star or bomba star. Mga nude movies. So they attended a teacher's conference, and they, oh, may time pa, manood tayong sine. They wanted to watch a movie. And most of the movies being shown at that time were like, yes, those bold star movies. And so they had to make a choice whether they will go for the sake of, oh, free time natin. Or just be careful, lalo yung teacher sila, that when, uy, nako, si Mrs. Isguera nanood ng bomba film. Lagot sa principal, siya napunta sa principal's office. as a Christian, when you, let's say you, kahit na nilibre kayo, if you go to a movie and you didn't even check the rating, and you're there in the middle of the movie, and then it's something where in the name of the Lord is taken in vain, what do you do? Uy, tapusin na natin, sayang popcorn, no? Mahal popcorn. Or do you get up and leave? It's up to us. Every day we make choices. Every day we make choices that can either build us up spiritually or weaken our character. Amen? And so that's why the Word of God says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So the same with us Christians. He will devour those who are following at a distance. Do you know that there is, this is what the enemy is doing. We talked about offenses. We talked about broken relationships, whether at home or even here in the house of God, in the family of God, that they would keep themselves and they would say, I'll be at a distance. They would isolate themselves. And they would totally forget what Jesus said, do not forsake the assembling of the saints. Why is that so important? We always emphasize this. Why is that so important? Because when we are weak, God is going to use those who are strong in their faith. I know that over all these years in my Christian life, I thank God that I was part of a church that there were people who prayed for me and encouraged me. I wouldn't go this far if not God's faithfulness and the faithfulness of my brothers and sisters alongside of me. Amen. We need one another. Do you know that meron tayong blind spots? In our driving, it's a good thing I looked over my shoulder. I didn't see the car beside me. That's my blind spot. In life, we have a blind spot. And God would use someone to blow the trumpet. Boom! Oh, blind spot yun. Oh, thank you for causing me to see that. I didn't see it coming. That's why we need one another. We need the Holy Spirit and we need the Word of God. Amen. We all need to stay as close as we can to our Lord Jesus, who is the shepherd of our soul. Not from a distance. Why did we say, hindi po pwedeng half-hearted commitment? We cannot say, I can do it only when it's convenient. Because it would require sacrifice on our part to really strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Amen. Hear me and hear the word of the Lord. And so, but in the end, one thing that we are so thankful for is the example that Jesus did. What did Jesus do? He prayed for Peter. He prayed for Peter. And as us, we are the body of Christ. Jesus is the head. We need to pray for one another. Do you know that when we don't see you, we pray for you. We remember you. But you also need to pray for your leaders. Amen. I'm not, it would be selfish for me to say, don't pray for me. You pray for your leaders. Amen. The Bible says, strike the shepherd and the sheep scatters. I will never forget that first Friday prayer meeting we had in this church, because this used to be a church. And the pastor passed away suddenly. And I guess not all of the members were notified as far as what happened. There will be people that will be coming right there in that front door, and they would ask what happened to, and they gave them the name of the church. And we said, no, they're no longer here. And, we need prayer. We need prayer. I'm not saying this because I'm in this position, no. But we need to pray for one another. We need to strengthen each other. We need to be sensitive to the needs of each other. Wag na po yung being judgmental or critical. You know, oy, but ginawa yun, di ba? Ilang years na siya kay Lord. Well, why? No, we don't do that. We all have our own shortcomings. What's amazing about our Lord Jesus is, it's amazing how he did not focus on Peter denying him. Siguro kung sa atin yun, dininay mo ko, chipwera ka. I'm not gonna even consider you. No. What he saw was yung willingness ni Peter. He might have that kind of kaki siya, yabang. Yabang siya, pero the Lord changed him through the power of His Holy Spirit. And can you imagine that he became one of the pillars of the early church? Amen. And he even, mangingisda, fisherman. And he became one of the leaders of a church, and he even wrote two important letters in the Bible, 1 Peter and 2 Peter. He shared what he experienced. Kaya sabi niya, pray. Pray. Sabi niya, the end of things is near. Be serious and watchful in your praying. Why did he say that? I experienced it. That when I did not pray, I failed God. We all need the Lord. We all need the Lord. Amen. And one thing about him was he was restored together with the other disciples. Because you know what he did? He repented. He repented. That's his difference with Judas. Judas might have been predestined to be the traitor, but he could have chosen to repent. He could have chosen to repent. But he took the other route. So Peter obeyed the words of our Lord Jesus before he went up to heaven. He said, wait. Come together in prayer, gather together in prayer, and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And he obeyed. He obeyed the Lord. In fact, he was restored. He was changed dramatically, that through God's power, as we have said, he became one of the leaders of a church. You know, as we end, let's allow the Holy Spirit to examine our hearts. I would always use this as an example that the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit serves like as an MRI for us. We allow the Holy Spirit to scan us, scan our hearts, that if there's anything at all that might be hindering us in receiving the full measure of God's grace and that we do the will of God in our lives, I think it's high time. You know, as Brother Roel said, and we're going to say it again, that the trumpet is being blown and we need to hear the voice of God. We need to listen to the Word of God. And it's high time that we serve the Lord with all of our hearts. Amen. Let's pray. Let's thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless your name. We give you praise, Lord Jesus, because you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are the shepherd of our souls. You are the head of the church. You are the head of this body. We thank you that you've given us your word and your Holy Spirit to serve like a spiritual gauge for all of us. How much we need your words that are life to all of us. Your words that can revive our heart that is fainting. Your word that is able to guide us when we have lost our way. Your word is able, Lord, to steer us when our hearts are fainting and, Lord God, our hearts are growing cold with the things of God. Lord, we come to you just as we are. We are so thankful for the blood of Jesus that allows us to approach your throne of grace this afternoon, God. For you are the God who knows everything, and you're the God that knows everything even before we say a word. You know us so well. So well, better than we know ourselves, God. And thank you, Holy Spirit. You are the Spirit of grace and the Spirit of truth. How much we need your deep work in all of us to show us where we're at spiritually. Father God, we need the oil of the Holy Spirit. Cause our lamps to burn for Jesus. We would want to be likened to those wise virgins that they were so ready when Jesus, the time for you to come. And Lord, we are seeing that there are so many things being fulfilled right before our eyes, oh God. And everything comes from your word. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, even for the story of Peter, God, that you have saved for all of us to read. Lord, we don't want to be mabilang po. We don't want to be counted among those who would fall away and depart from their faith, God. We want that, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, even when we go through periods of discouragement, Lord God. Lord, we ask that, Lord, by the power of your Spirit and your word, oh God, encourage your people, oh God, who are discouraged today. That, Lord, let there be the lifting up of spirits, oh God, for those who are being, Lord, depressed by the enemy, oh God. Lord, we thank you, God, that you would cause them by the power of your Spirit, you would cause them to rise above their difficult circumstances, their problems, oh God. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are our high priest. As our high priest, you are ever living to make intercession for us. The way you prayed for Peter then, you are praying for us now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that because you are so committed to us. Lord, ang commitment mo sa amin, hindi half-hearted. In fact, you gave up your life that we may have life eternal, God. And Lord, this is the kind of passion that we need as a church, Lord. Likened to Peter, you change him through the work of your Spirit. Lord, change us. So before we take our communion, let this be a moment between God and us. Let's talk to him today and allow the Holy Spirit to just do a deep search in our hearts. If there's anything that we need to pour out our hearts to him, say, Lord, I'm getting cold. Lord, I don't want to be cold because, in fact, you said, kung lukewarm. The Lord doesn't want that in any one of us. He would spew us out of his mouth. And we don't want that before the eyes of God. We need to be hot for the Lord. We need our hearts to burn for Jesus. Lord, restore ang aming quiet time with you. Restore our prayer, Lord God. Restore even our corporate prayer together as a church, God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, that it's not the lie from the enemy that, God, it's meant to be just for a few, God. Lord, help us to manage our time wisely, God, that we may be able to find time for what is important to you, O God. And so, Lord, we ask for your forgiveness, for our pride, for our prayerlessness. Lord, forgive us when we have allowed the distractions of this world to take away our time with you and hearing your word. Lord, we pray for our children, God. We ask that, Lord, in the name of Jesus, protect their minds from the evil influences around them. We pray for all parents and grandparents, oh God, in Jesus' name, that, Father God, that you would grant us wisdom and the anointing of your spirit be upon us, oh God, that we may pass on the greatest legacy that can be passed on to the next generation, and that is their faith in your son, Jesus. Hallelujah. We glorify your name. And so, Lord, as we come before you, God, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all of our sins and unrighteousness, oh God, because we don't want to take this communion lightly as we remember your perfect sacrifice at that cross, Lord Jesus. And we honor you today, Lord Jesus. You are our life, and you are the baptizer of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. As we call on the ushers to distribute the elements, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Allow me to read the portion of the scriptures. Everything that we do should be led by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. And this is one of the commandments of the Lord. For I receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you, as found in 1 Corinthians 11. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Jesus. For whenever you and I eat this bread and drink this cup, you and I proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord." So that's why we are never to take this lightly. Verse 28, "A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judge ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your perfect sacrifice at that cross. a moment that you have given us as a church always to come together and to do this, to partake of the communion and remember what you have done for us. We thank you, Lord God, Father God, for your love for us. That's why your word declares that you love us so much. You love the world so much that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Christ shall not perish but have everlasting life. Your heart is always to bless. Your heart is that we may be with you for all eternity, God. And Lord, for all of us that you have given us the blessed opportunity to hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus, we are forever thankful to you. We ask, Lord God, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all of our sins. Lord, even as we partake this bread, we remember your broken body. You suffered and died on that cross on our behalf. The punishment that should have been ours, you took it upon yourself. Say that to the Lord. Lord, the punishment that should have been mine, make it personal. Lord, the punishment that should have been mine, you took it for me. The blood that you shed on that cross was for the forgiveness of all of my sins. And so, Lord, today we declare this, Lord God, these spiritual blessings that you have accomplished at that cross. Our salvation, Lord, provision, Lord, healing for our bodies, for the mind, in the name of Jesus, because as our Jehovah Shalom, Lord God, what you desire is, Lord, that we prosper in every way in our lives, God. And we thank you for this, Lord God. As we partake this bread, we thank you for your broken body, Lord Jesus. And we ask that, Lord, let there be unity. May we be united with you, Lord God, and even our relationship with one another. Let there be reconciliation, Father God. We thank you, Father God, as you have forgiven us, cause us to forgive others. In Jesus' name, as we partake this bread. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, this cup represents your most precious blood that reminds us of our value before your sight, that we are precious before you. We are your workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works that will bring glory and honor to you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that through your blood we not only have the forgiveness of all of our sins, but it brings wholeness in our lives that we may do your will, O God. And Lord, as a church, this is our prayer, that God, may every one of us be actively involved in the expansion of your kingdom. That, Lord, all of us will be made whole. That, God, we may also share the good news to others who need Jesus desperately in their lives. So we honor you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for the blessed hope that we have in you, that you are coming back for us, O God. The stirring in our spirits today, Lord God, that we need to be rapture ready, O God. As we even commit to you the coming days and weeks that we're going to study this topic together, Father God, that would just awaken us all, O God. The bright hope that we have in you, Lord Jesus, as you are coming to gather us all your elect, your chosen ones, in Jesus' name. We thank you for this cup, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's thank the Lord. Let's all rise up as we just honor our Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for the Brother Ernie, for the final blessings, and then we're going to worship the Lord together. Hallelujah. How many of you received the word of the Lord today?
Amen.
Praise God. Glory to God. Let's thank him for his word. Amen. Amen. Father God, we honor you, and we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who is the word of life. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that as we honor you, that because you're our teacher, the things that we have studied together, Lord, Holy Spirit, you are continually giving us enlightenment, O God. Bless your people today with the power that comes from your Spirit, God. We thank you that, Lord, you are the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. We receive by faith the anointing that comes from your Holy Spirit, O God. That, Lord, today you are just reviving hearts, Lord. You're causing all of us to see the need for us to be ready spiritually, Lord God, because you can come anytime. And above all, O God, May we live a life of obedience, God. Obedient to you, to your word, and to your Holy Spirit. Bless your people today with encouragement and hope and strong faith, O God. That, Lord, we know that, God, we are victorious in Christ. Hallelujah. That we should not be afraid of what's in front of us, what lies ahead in the future, God, or present troubles that can weigh us down. Today, we thank you that you're our burden carrier, Lord God, and you will do just as what you say in your word, that you would supply for all of our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ, and that whatever we do, Lord God, is never in vain. The work that we do is unto you, serving one another, is counted before your sight. The day is coming that you will reward those who are faithful to you till the end. May you find us all faithful and steadfast and loyal to Jesus, your Son. In his mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.